Yeah, we do. Tomorrow marks 47 years to the day since Australia's worst industrial accident a day. 35 young men went to work yet never arrived home. October 15, 1970, the day a span of Melbourne's Westgate Bridge, which was under construction at the time, collapsed. And this morning, Pat Preston, who's a surviving Westgate construction worker and now on the Westgate Bridge Memorial Committee, joins me on the line. Welcome to the program, Pat.
Good morning, Marcus.
And Pat, so this time 47 years ago, you were a construction worker on the Westgate project. What are your memories, or what do you recall about that tragic day?
Well, it was a first day, Marcus, a payday. Went to work just like any other day. Didn't seem anything unusual about the day, other than a bit of a chill in the air. I was a crane operator. Just getting on towards dinner time, it was customary when I on a small light mobile crane, when I was near the steel spans to drive down there and pick up a couple of the guys and run them up to the spotty hotel. Things were different in those days on construction. I'd park my crane just almost alongside the steel spans, which had been put up, and looked up on the lift up, seen mate of mine, Paddy Hannaby, one of the riggers, and a couple others, and engineer Ian Miller looking down from the lift platform. Suddenly there's this very loud... it's hard to explain the noise. It was like a cracking and banging up above me, and looking up, see the bridge seemed to be moving. And then I realised what was happening. It started buckling and coming down, and I sort of got myself behind the rear wheels on the crane there, thinking, oh, shit, I better get away from this. Whilst I was looking, one of the guys who was on the walkway to lift platform came flying down past me. That was a young carpenter, apprentice carpenter, who had sort of landed in the swamp. From there, as you can imagine, it was a shock, and everything sort of went very quiet for a little while, maybe only a second or two. It would seem like that, everything going quiet, and then up bangs and noise, and once you sort of get over the shock, it's in to see what you can do.
And had the workers sensed there was something wrong on the project in the days prior?
Most certainly. Look, it was only a couple of months before when we had a mass meeting because we'd heard of the Milford Haven Bridge collapsing in the UK. We had meetings, discussions about it, and we ended up with engineers coming and telling us how safe the job was we were working on, and how it was a belts and braces type technique, and we had nothing to worry about. Just a week or so before the collapse on a Sunday, I was on a job and finish. We used to have that sort of thing in those days on construction, on the crane, helping to de-rig a crane just alongside the steel span, so we have a 1200 lima crane, along with a couple of the riggers who unfortunately came down on the bridge. One of the foremen who had gone up to take some visitors onto the top, when he came down, was talking to him down by the lift. And he mentioned how the steel was very hot and a bit of a bluey colour on it. At the time, didn't think anything of it, but there'd been a number of meetings over the safety of the bridge. So, we put sort of trust in engineers, which now I've learned you just don't trust no bastard.
And how would you describe safety on the job in those days? I mean, today we have the consultation rights, the OHS Act. Safety committees exist on work sites. That was non-existent in those days.
It wasn't. Look, safety was ourselves. If we thought it was wrong, it was wrong. And we blew about it. We had stop work meetings and discussed and the issues. But there was not safety as we know it now. Look, what we enjoy on construction now, I guess you could say, had a beginning on what came out of the Westgate Bridge. I mean, we all learned lessons there. This is the workers. We learned not just to trust on face value what bosses and engineers tell us. So we'll dig in and learn ourselves.
And you said it was a Thursday payday. You were planning to catch up with your mates for a drink, obviously.
Oh, most certainly. We were never going to go down the road and have a beer at night time. Over 10 to 12 on that day, everything changed. And when you look at what happened, it was a fault of engineers and bosses. And you look at the outcome of the Royal Commission. And what was said in the Royal Commission, they said the disaster which occurred and the tragedy of the 35 deaths was utterly unnecessary, and it was utterly unnecessary. Effectively said, what should have been allowed, was allowed to happen was inexcusable, and it was. If we had the safety... which we fought for, the acts and the legislation which came out there afterwards, maybe it wouldn't have happened. But there again, you really don't know because you still see those terrible accidents on construction, even now, collapses of various things. But if you have a look at what happened, we followed our directions, or the guys on top followed the directions. When the spans were lifted, the two steel spans, the camber of one didn't match the other. There was about 4 inches of difference. They had the engineers come up with the bright idea of lifting 8-ton concrete blocks up to bring the bring them level. Those concrete blocks happened to be on the job because they were they'd been used as guy blocks for in other parts of the job.
Okay, and what's not? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's not widely known was the company's shameful treatment of the surviving workers in the days following the tragedy.
Oh, look, there was no follow-up counselling and help, financial help and things of that we enjoy today, and what we enjoy today, we fought for. Your loved one's dead. It was the workers on the job who was left, and other building workers who were collected to assist them financially. And compensation, compensation was almost non-existent. What you got was a pittance, and you waited a long while for it. In fact, there was debates in Parliament, and workers turned up in the gallery there to see that we did. There was a proper compensation scheme coming out of it.
And, Pat, you went on to head the safety unit at the CFMEU. No doubt your commitment to safety was inspired out of this catastrophe.
I guess you could say I learned lessons then. I was only a youngster, and it's 47 years ago now, but you learn lessons, and I had a big interest in safety when we returned to the job once it restarted again. We formed a safety committee on the job. There was advisors from the National Safety Council, although I must say some of their advice is a lot to, when you think about what we know now, is a lot to be desired. But yes, I got an interest in safety, and I might say it wasn't only the 33 who died on that day and the two who subsequently died in hospital, but there was also another fatality a year after we started back, and we're a worker who ended up falling off the force work or being knocked off the force work on the east side of the river. So it's claimed many lives, and many lives of people who suffered as a consequence of the collapse, who died early in their 30s. And the materials we used, people have lost their lives due to the job, such as asbestos, being used widely to protect, supposedly to protect us, such as asbestos gloves, gaiters, aprons for the boilermakers, lead and chromium used for the coating of the steel boxes. So there was a lot learnt from the West Gate.